You're listening to highlights from OTB AM, Off the Ball's new daily breakfast show. It's live every weekday morning from 7:45. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube or Twitter, or listen live at offtheball.com.
Alan Quinlan, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
How are things?
Good morning, Owen. How
morning.
Are you?
Great to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a massive weekend, isn't it? It's always that sort of time of the rugby calendar where you've got the Interpros, Munster playing Leinster, and then you go straight into 2 weeks of the Champions Cup. Once that's out of the way, the focus turns to the Guinness Internationals and the Springboks are up first. I'd put it to you that with the whole Simon Zeebo thing all pretty much put to bed now, we know that Bundiaki's going to play this weekend. We're right in the middle of the World Cup cycle, as they call it. That maybe the preparation for the World Cup, this is actually day one. Saturday will be day one of our prep for the World Cup.
Yeah, I think historically that's the way it works. Kind of 2 years out, you've got to start shaping a squad, seeing if you can bring through some young players, guys who'll make an impression. We know the tried and trusted who'll probably make Japan in 2019. There's always some changes, and you look back to 15, I think. That bit of strength and depth when we had five guys out for that Argentina game was probably the key. So, yeah, the build-up starts here. You can't look too far ahead as a coach because the pressure is on from the union. The international game funds everything here in Ireland, so they want to win test matches. I think this game there's a bit of added oomph, if you like, because of the Rugby World Cup 2023 bid. I don't think we'll want to lose twice in 2 weeks, losing a technical review.
We haven't lost either.
We lost a review, but I think it's important that Ireland win this game. They're coming up against a side who've struggled under Alistair Coetzee. He's had a lot of changes, a lot of different players, starting to find their feet a little bit now. So it's, always when I played in these games, the pressure is there to win. There's a pressure when you put on the Irish jersey, there's a pressure to win.
Is there any difference in the pressure and the intensity that goes with an Autumn International when you compare it to a World Cup game or a Six Nations game? When you're actually involved and the whistle goes at the very start, once you're in it, is it the exact same?
Once you're out there, yeah, I think it doesn't have the same intensity because I think if you're playing the World Cup and even a Six Nations game, there's extra pressure. It's like another step up. Personal kind of pride and stuff in putting on the jersey. You've got to drive it from the player's point of view, and opportunities come and go really quickly in international rugby. So the players will have a massive drive to do well.
Like if you look at the All Blacks games like this time last year, I mean they
don't take their foot off the pedal.
That was as intense and as physical and as tough as any Six Nations game or any World Cup quarterfinal, I would have thought.
Yeah, you want to create an environment where every game is a big game. Obviously, you can't go out and replicate your top performance every time, but I think that's why everyone tries to aspire be like the All Blacks, because Steve Hansen and the mentality is a winning culture. So I think for Ireland, they'll want to win these three games. If they were to lose, against South Africa or possibly Argentina, it'll be seen as a big disappointment for November, because that's the standard where Ireland are at now. They're ranked fourth in the world and they want to stay up there. So even though they're not the same as a World Cup game or a Six Nations game, they're very, very important, I think. There's a little bit of room to manoeuvre, particularly around Fiji and Argentina, with some selections and expose guys to that environment. But I think it's something Joe Schmidt has done really well in the last number of years, is he's brought a lot of young guys into the squad behind the scenes that we don't even hear about. We don't hear about it in the press. They train, they see the Paul O'Connells, the Brian O'Driscolls, the Ronan O'Garas.
Gary Ringrose was out in Carton House long before
we saw him in a green jersey. He would have been around, watched Draco training, watched Rog, how they go about their business. They would have learned off guys before themselves. So I think he's done really well at that. Jordan Larma has been out there recently, I think. So they're important games, but it's a build-up to World Cup. We want to go to World Cup, and no matter what happens, we have to try and get past that quarterfinal stage, and it starts on Saturday.
You would think that Ireland are taking it very seriously, though, even if you look at the kind of body count from the week's training. Already two lads have dropped just from a week of training, which shows that the intensity is right there already.
Yeah, and it's probably difficult for this one because the Irish coaches just get a group of players. They had a small little camp last week, and it's just this week, test match week, to get ready for a test match. So it's
how close
difficult.
The test match intensity does the contact get? I'm surprised that we've lost two guys who were seemingly fit going into Carton House, and Jack McGrath and Keith Earls, and now look like they're not going to be able to make it.
The coaches will be very mindful of it, and modern day rugby just doesn't allow you to do the old traditional beating to each other for 50 minutes in a full-on contact session. It just doesn't allow you to do that. You have to replicate some match intensity around the contact situation, and you have to have a trust in each other that you're not going 120% to try and put some fella back on his backside. But
did you have full trust in the guys you were in those situations?
The mentality was different. No, the
mentality. You're up against another six. Are you thinking? You think
you got to keep your technique right, and you got to go pretty hard. And that's if you do it right. If you kind of go 50-50, it can be dangerous sometimes. Mm. So you're either all in or not, and that's dictated by the message the coach gives. If we're working on technique, are we trying to clean guys out? It's like doing a tackling drill. If a guy's running at me, am I leg tackling him or am I hitting him mid chest to try and put him backwards and really put a lot of force in it? So. Injuries can happen in rugby during the week, and I don't think it's come down to Ireland, boshing the lives out of each other this week. You just don't have time for that. There'll be certain little sessions that they would have. They're quite unlucky. They probably did a contact session or
it's
something
just one
like
of those
that.
Things.
Yeah, back a number of years ago, though, it was a regular occurrence where, you go out, you get the sheet the night before, you get your training schedule, and there's going to be 50 minutes of full on rocking here, and that used to be chaos, really, and you'd be trying to stay away. I always remember when I trained with Ireland, when Trevor Brennan was training, try and get another group that Trevor's in, because he would take out all his own players regularly, and he did it when he played for Leinster, even in matches, he'd hit his own player.
Trevor
didn't know anything else. Didn't know anything else. So that doesn't happen nowadays. But even this week, there'll be a bit of bite in the session. A couple of guys know they're not playing. Line out scrums will be going full on. So we don't know how those knocks and injuries occurred, but it's not like it used to be.
Well, it's one thing seeing people from the same nation going at it at lineouts and at rucks, but you've seen England and Wales going at it this week as well. I think lineout is one of the particular areas they wanted to focus on. What did you think of that?
It didn't surprise me because this goes right back to when I played with Shannon. We always wanted to go and train against Young Munsters or Gary Owen and our biggest rivals, because you get the best out of each other. You need a control scenario where you bring in a referee and say, right, lads, we got to be careful here. You can imagine on the back pitch in Thomond Park in the mid-90s, where there's no sighting commissioners, there's no videos, there's no cameras. Anything goes at times. So it's about, I see England, with England and Wales coming together, they get quality work done there for 40-50 minutes in the lineouts, and you're getting tested against. You're trying to replicate. Anytime you train, particularly in rugby, it's very important. You try hit those peaks that you're going to hit in a game. So you're putting the pressure mentally, physically, from a cohesive point, from a communication point, particularly in lineouts, because they're so important. So I think seeing that happen this week didn't surprise me. They're not going to be giving stuff away to each other that, they're not going to be doing, different line-out moves and hiding stuff and or putting out their full playbook. They're going to be doing your standard kind of line-outs and under pressure, going in really quickly, taking each other on. So it's something that's starting to happen more in the game, and I think it's a good thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's revolutionary, really. It's something, as you say, I think maybe Ireland could be looking at as well. We will get into the potential team selection for Joe Schmidt in a few moments, but the Bundiaki situation, are you surprised, given how long we've known, how far out we've known, that it would be this period of 2017 when he was eligible and he was probably going to be thrown straight into the starting 15, that there's still so much debate, so much discussion over the residency rule and the fact that Bundiaki is coming in to take the place of a genuine Irish guy who's come through the academy system and maybe feels that he should be someone like Marshall, for example. He should be the person playing in midfield.
I'm not surprised by the reaction. Do I have a problem with it? I don't. I think he hasn't broken any of the rules. He's not Irish. We know that. But he's potentially a world-class player. And I think he's going to get better and stronger in Joe Schmidt's environment.
You don't have a problem with Bundiaki per se, and I think...
No, I don't have a problem with the rule either.
Bundy just happens to be the latest guy to come through the project player conveyor belt.
Even when I played...
Generally, as a rule, did you have a problem with it?
I hadn't a problem with it.
It's changed now, obviously.
I don't want to say I had just to appease people. I never had a problem with it. And I played with guys who went on to play for Ireland.
If you had been on the bench and you had been kept out of the team
by a
guy who
was...
kind of did have a problem with it then, really.
Well, I didn't have a problem with it because it didn't directly affect me. No, I never thought about it that way. I thought, look, there's an opportunity. Guys can come in, they can stay here for 3 years and they can play for Ireland. You know, I wouldn't say that I was ever delighted about it, but I never had an issue where I went, oh, this is wrong. I don't want to play with that guy. It's a joke. I never publicly wanted to give out about it. I think if a guy comes here, moves his family, my biggest issue with any overseas player that I ever played with or I saw playing within the system was the commitment, the desire, the passion, the work ethic. When those things were right, I'm happy enough. And I played with many overseas players throughout the years in Munster and a couple of guys who went on to play for Ireland. And if I saw a guy slacking off in training or not putting in the effort level, that's when it started, would have annoyed me.
It would never be an issue with this setup, though. I mean,
no, it's not.
They're the basics that Joe Schmidt's looking for.
But look, I fully appreciate and understand people's issue with it because, you know, it's to extend the residency rule was the right thing to do. I think 5 years now, if a guy comes over, stays here that long, commits to being in the country, brings his family here, a lot of the times they'll stay here. I think he deserves a chance and an opportunity to play international rugby. I do understand, like I said, and I appreciate that, you know, someone like Luke Marshall at the weekend, why isn't Chris Farrell playing? He's Irish instead of Bundiaki on Saturday. So there's an argument for that one too. But I think
the rules as they stand, we'd be naive not to use
them. We don't have
everybody
the biggest playing quota in the world. And sometimes we struggle for a bit of depth. When Brian O'Driscoll and Gordon Darcy retired, we had issues trying to find centres for a couple of years. Who's going to replace them? These guys were there for 12, 13 years together. So it adds more depth to it. And I think Aki he's just a unique talent. If he gets fitter and up to speed within Joe's environment, I think he's going to make it massive. And I'm just thinking, kind of selfishly, how do Ireland get better? And I understand Luke Fitzgerald would have spoke about this before, that he's uneasy with it, and I respect that. I'm just not. I don't mind it as much as others. I fully understand, but it's going back to all that commitment, desire, work ethic. Rickard Strauss a couple of years ago, I remember when he played, and I remember thinking, you know, he was one of my rivals. I would have played against him many times. I had no problem with Rickard Strauss because I knew the guy. And I knew that it meant a lot to him, and I knew that he wouldn't let the side down. And, you know, maybe that I'm wrong and naive to say that, but and I understand people's opinion on the outside from a patriotic point of view, but you're taking away an opportunity for someone then. And I don't think we've any mercenaries who've come here just to try and play. It's a different scenario if someone comes very, very late in the game. Look at Jarrod Payne, the impact he's made, the quality he's brought. So it's one that pushing out to 5 years is probably a good scenario.
Yeah, I think whatever side of the debate you're sitting on, it's very easy to put together a very good argument for
either way,
how you're feeling.
Absolutely.
most of that debate and argument will be removed by the 5-year residency rule because it makes it very difficult for a player to kind of just fly in.
Well, they've looked at it stringently now and they've said, right, okay, 5 years is fair.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be any more.
You'll still have those naysayers who think it should have been seven, eight, or ten years. But
should have a passport, and
that's the way it is.
And maybe that's the case, but I don't see it that way.
Let's have a look at team selection. We had Wednesday Night Rugby on the show last night, as we always do every Wednesday night. Rory O'Connor from the Irish Independent was involved. Here he is discussing the role that Joey Carberry might play in the November internationals.
I'd love to see Joey Carberry, if he is given that number 22 shirt, come on and affect games. I think he could be to Ireland what Beauden Barrett was in the last World Cup cycle for New Zealand, the guy who can come in anywhere in the back line and make a real difference. If you remember, Barrett scored that all-important try in the final, having come on, I think, after about 45, 50 minutes. And then when Johnny Sexton sails off into the sunset, then he becomes the main man. I think there's a real role for that. Joe traditionally hasn't gone for a lot of impact on the bench. The omission of Sean Cronin almost speaks to that as well for this window. But I'd love to see Joey Carberry being able to be introduced and just change the way Ireland are playing over the course of a game.
Keith is going for an Ireland win ultimately. I presume you're in the same boat?
I am, yeah. It won't be easy, but I think I would expect them to beat all three. They're the highest ranked team of these four countries, and they're a smarter team than South Africa, I think.
That's Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent on Wednesday Night Rugby with Joe in studio last night. Alan Quillen with us in studio. Potentially we have a backline involving Stockdale, Bundiaki, Carberry, Henshaw, led by Sexton. I mean, it's as creative and as exciting a backline as you could have. Of all those guys I've mentioned, maybe Carberry's the least likely to actually start. If you were picking a 15, now in the absence of Simon Zebo, who I think has played 12 of the last 13 tests under Joe Schmidt, do you go back to Rob Kearney, or would you like to see something a little more ambitious than that?
I think more ambitious for Fiji and Argentina, if possible. Not for this one. I think South Africa play a very direct game. They kick a lot. I think Rob Kearney, he looked pretty sharp coming back at the start of the season. He's been tormented by injuries. I wouldn't put Joey Carberry there. I think Joey Carberry is your backup fly half. He's your backup to Sexton. So if you start Carberry and Sexton, which would be an exciting proposition, and they've done fantastically well for Leinster this year, if anything happens to Johnny Sexton after 5 minutes, you're moving Carberry to full back. You're making three changes and you're bringing someone off the bench and you're kind of disrupting that, the whole back line early on. So I think Carberry will be your backup fly. If Paddy Jackson was available, I think Joey Carberry could start at full back. Mm. And you could argue that that's a little bit unfair, that maybe Joey Carberry is the future, is the one that... But I see his long-term future as a 10.
You said earlier, we mentioned earlier, that we're literally mid-cycle in terms of the Rugby World Cup. Is Rob Kearney going to be starting at 15 in the Rugby World Cup in Japan in a couple of years' time? And if not, what's the point?
Yeah, I see. Going back to the original point of development and winning, you want that development part of it, but you're going to win as well. And I made that point. So have you a better chance of winning with Rob Kearney at full back on Saturday and having that safe, secure, experienced guy who's marshalling a Jacob Stockdale, mm-hmm. who's on the wing, very inexperienced, would be of benefit to Bundy Aki at 13, who Rob talks a lot. And I think Robbie Henshaw probably doesn't talk a lot, even though we had a player mic in him a while back for Sky, and it was brilliant listening to him. I just think you bring in that bit of experience. You want to win this test match. You want to start off November well. Of course, it may happen. You know, Joe's pulled a rabbit out of a hat before and surprised everyone that he may start Carberry. Mm. But I just think it's the fact that if something happens, Johnny Sexton, you kind of taking the guy who's at full back, putting him up into centre, bringing on
It's too much of a
reshuffle. Yeah, it's a bit of a reshuffle. So I think if Paddy Jackson's available, Joey Carberry's starting at full back. But I just think you take this test match for what it is. You're coming up against a team. We've very little preparation for this test match, whereas they're coming on the back of a rugby championship. Mm. A bit of a mixed bag, but on a pretty positive note after the last game they played New Zealand in Cape Town, which they should have won. So they're kind of match fit, battle hardened, been together for all of the summer. Three positive tests against France in the summer, and then they've a lot of run of games in the championship. So because of those kind of variables, I think you're just going tried and trusted. Put Rob Kearney in there. He won't let you down. He'll do a good job. And I still think he's a fair bit to offer. Will he go to Japan? It's a tall order, but...
Yeah, I should have said the last time we wrote Rob Kearney off as an international fullback was in the build-up to the All Blacks.
I like
game
Rob
in Chicago,
Kearney, and I know
and we know what he produced that night.
Yeah, and I love the fact that I love to see guys doing that in sport when they're people write them off and they come back, and he was fantastic in Chicago. Mm. Okay, he knows he's probably he's not the quickest guy in the world. He's not going to slice if defences open, but there's a really solid platform there, and. You go for more. I think Carberry certainly, as I said, Carberry's future is as a 10 in my belief, or but a 12.
How does he build up that experience at 10? Because obviously the man standing in front of him for Ireland is the same man that's standing in front of him at Leinster. And I sense if Johnny Sexton goes down for Leinster, they probably go Ross Byrne at 10 and potentially keep Carberry at 15. I'm not sure. Do you agree with that? It's just how do you get that top level experience? Because
you wonder how much game time he's going to get at 10 in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that is an issue. It's a very good point on. Who says? You know, I'm saying he's a better 10. It's where he started. But he could have a full international career as a fullback, as a 12. He just has this great ability to read the game. He's great balance. He's just a really, really talented footballer.
He's the closest we've got to Zebo in that arbitration.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and
so that's maybe paved the way for him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So it's up to the guy himself. So what's he thinking himself? I want to be a 10. I want to be 15. I'm happy to play in the team wherever. the danger with that kind of flexibility is sometimes you get shifted around a little bit and you don't nail down any spot yourself. But he's still so young. It's all happened so quickly. Mm. What's the worst that can happen if it is 2 years before he actually, at 23, goes in and says, you know, I'm now the 10, I'm ready to go, and Johnny Sexton is slipping out the other side. So I don't think it's a major issue. I think he's good enough to, you don't have to have this scenario where you have to expose him as a 10 for a number of years. I think this guy is just a unique talent. And I just have a little problem with putting someone at full back and then you have the injury and having to have that shift. Someone coming off the bench, they're watching what's going on, they have a little bit of a chance to take a breather and see how the game is developing, what they need to do, and they go in with specific messages coming off the bench where it's a bit of a jump up. Of course it's achievable, but you know, I don't know if you want to do that. So I think he's a long-term future as a 10, but he can play anywhere, so I'm comfortable. It depends what the player wants himself.
The overall selection, a lot of the team you feel is going to pick itself, particularly now that Jack McGrath looks like he's out, so Keane Healy will just come into that slot. Back row looks like it's going to pick itself in a lot of ways, given the injuries we have in that area of the field. What happens on the other wing if we take it that Stockdale is going to make his international debut and Keith Earls doesn't play?
Yeah.
Where do you go then?
I think Andrew Conway comes straight in. I think Joel likes Andrew Conway because, why do I say that? It's nothing personal that I know. I just think he... You know, he's had him in a lot of squads.
He's a Schmidt type of player, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's
similar
improved
to Dave
a lot.
Carney, for example,
he's improved
Trimble.
A lot, but Conway has serious gas. He's so quick over the first kind of 10 metres. And so I think he'll come in. The other option is Adam Byrne, Dave Carney. You know, will they come in there? So I think it's Conway that's going to come in there. And then probably Dave Carney will come on the bench. So... It's a loss because when you go back, right back to what you were talking about, the Zeebo thing, you think Zeebo playing in this team with potentially a Bundiaki, with Robbie Henshaw, with a Stockdale, with an Earls, it's serious kind of X
really
factor
and
pace.
It's quite sad.
It is a loss, yeah. It is, there's no doubt about it. I'm more disappointed that he's gone from a fan's point of view.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys are probably the same because Zeebo, I think
he
had to win Joe over for a number of years. And I know, and this is Joe's got the best out of a lot of our players. He's tough. He rules with an iron fist sometimes. He's created an environment of intensity and work rate and all that stuff. And an ability to know your role and do that role really well. And I think Zeebo kind of probably didn't fit into that scenario at the start. He's a bit of a free spirit. You know, what you see is what you get with Simon Zeebo, but I think he improved his game dramatically defensively, work rate, his kicking game, cut out some of the silly errors that he would have made.
But stop going through his qualities because you're making us feel even more wistful.
Yeah, but look, he's gone and that's it. And look, I suppose we've got to draw a line under that. But I just think that... Conway will probably come straight in there if Earls is gone, and that's unfortunate because I think Earls has been there's been something different about Keith Earls in the last 12 months, and a lot of it is probably down to mentality, because I know Keith was a confidence player, again unique talent, great pace. In the last 12 months he seems to be more relaxed and happier in himself, and I just think every time he's touched a ball for Munster and Ireland in the last 12 months he's looked explosive, dangerous and a different player. So he's a loss, but you know, there's no huge amount of names jumping out there, is there?
No.
For that back three position.
No, I think it will be Conway. Listen, briefly before we let you go, what do you expect from South Africa? The side that was annihilated 57-0 or the side that probably should have beaten the All Blacks in their very next outing, or it'll be something in between?
Probably somewhere close to what they finished with in Cape Town. I think they'll understand that it's a tough test match for them coming up to play Ireland here. Ireland are a good side. And when you look at the team, when the team is named this afternoon, it'll be a strong Irish team. A lot of power there, I think. You know, traditionally, I think they're unsettled in the back line. They don't know their best back line. If you look at their centres, Jan Serfontein played 12 against France with Jesse Creel. Two very exciting, promising players. Their combination was starting to... They were getting a bit of consistency in that selection. Serfontein has been released now because he's going to France and he needs some time off to go and sort his deal out. So this crazy stuff that's happening in South African rugby. They have over 300 guys outside of the country playing abroad. So I think the back line is probably the issue. If you name their pack, the Beast is back for him. Malcolm Marks, the hooker, this guy is unbelievable. I think his performance against New Zealand in Cape Town was phenomenal. I think he's your modern day hooker who can, big. He's 6'2", 17.5 stone, and can move all over the field. You'll have the usual Etzebeth, De Jager in the second row, Monsters in the second row, and then a really good back row of Khaleesi. I really like Khaleesi. I think he's a brilliant player.
You think we'll win?
Yeah, I think we'll win. I think we'll have more. We'll probably have more of a structure and more of a shape to win this test match. But certainly, you couldn't underestimate them. And look, Joel, know the Irish players will know they've got to front up first and foremost against South Africa. You've got to get your set piece right. I think we'll be a bit more creative than them and win the game.
Brilliant stuff, Quinny. Thanks, Quinny, for coming into
pleasure.
Us. Alan's going to be with us next Thursday as well. Well, we'll probably still be sifting through the fallout from the South Africa game and looking ahead to the next two Guinness Autumn Internationals as well. Plenty of you in touch with us on Facebook and offtheball.com as well. You are watching OTB AM. Get in touch using the hashtag OTB AM. John Mulligan says, morning, lads. Is the whole Bundy thing gone a little over the top? Anyone who sees him playing for Connacht sees how much he gives to the cause, and I've no doubt he will do the same with Ireland. I don't think anybody has raised any doubts over the commitment or the skill or the ability of Bundy Aki to be a top level international test centre. It's just the whole 3-year residency rule, and whether or not you agree with that, some do and some don't, and it'll always be thus. Hugh O'Farrell on Periscope, I'm sorry, but imagine the farce if they had rules like this in football. There's no need for it. And that is a very good argument, and that is the argument that people who are very much against the project player rule would be making and have consistently made. There's plenty more coming in. We'll try and get to all your comments between now and just after 9 o'clock.
You've been listening to a highlights podcast from OTB AM. If you want to watch us live, we're on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube every morning from 7:45 a.m.